We're so blessed that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have been discussing the baptism of Jesus by John. And the chapters we've been going over, the scripture is Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Mark 1, 9 through 13, and Luke 3, 21 and 22.
It's a very exciting time.
It's a very exciting time, and I lost my notes.
It's okay. We were discussing last time about how John the Baptist, because of his preaching, the people were so blown away that they were asking, what do we do? And John challenged them, you have to be honest and you have to be content, you have to be kind, and you have to share. And so that was the preface before Jesus showed up for the baptism, for him to be baptized. Those people were there as he walked up. And so as he was showing them how their hearts needed to change and how they needed to bear the fruit of repentance, which is what he was revealing to them, then all of a sudden the one who gives us good fruit comes and wants to be baptized. And so what we're going to look at now, I'm going to chronologically tell the story from Mark 1, 9 through 13, Matthew 3, 13 through 17, and Luke 3, 21 through 22. And I don't know why I keep doing those out of order. And I think I wrote them down out of order, and so it just kind of stayed that way. And I'm going to like do a story tracking that's in chronological order. So one day, the Bible tells us that as John was preaching, he looked up and he saw Jesus walking up to him. And Jesus traveled all the way from Galilee for John to baptize him. John tried to deter Jesus, and he said, I need to be baptized by you. Why is it that you are coming to me? And Jesus said, please let it be so now, because it's proper for us to do in order to fulfill righteousness. So John consented. And as John was baptizing Jesus, Jesus prayed. And as Jesus came up out of the water, heaven opened up, and John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus as a dove. And at that very moment, the voice from heaven called out and said, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And Jesus at this time was about 30 years of age. Almost immediately, the Spirit led him out into the desert, and after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Jesus counted every temptation that Satan put before him with the word of God. The devil left Jesus for a more opportune time, and the angels attended to him. At this point, Jesus, in obedience, began his ministry. Mm. May God honor the telling of his word. So,
I love it when God speaks out loud.
I do too. And so in this passage, we are blessed with the fact that the voice of heaven speaks. And so Jesus had said of him by God, what did God say? He said what? What did God say to him?
This is my son.
And
I'm very proud of him.
It says, you are my beloved son, and in you I'm well pleased. That's this translation. And so I have this question. What did Jesus' baptism demonstrate to those people that were present? John just told them, you need to learn to be content, you need to be honest, you need to share, you need to be kind. So having Jesus show up, having Jesus say, nope, this fulfills righteousness now, and then the voice of heaven, boom, speaks. Mm-hmm. After 430-something years of silence, the voice of heaven rends. And depending on which translation, which book of the Bible, Mark says that it tore open heaven. In Luke, it says that the heavens opened. They actually use different Greek words. Luke's word is A-N-O-I-G-O, anagio, anoigo, I think. And then Mark uses schizo, which means literally like to tear or split. And so they're using different descriptive words to describe the voice of heaven. So one gives a more gentle description, and the other one gives a more dramatic kind of thing of the voice coming. But the key is that it is a revelation from God about his son. Mm. And so the voice is spoken. And as I was thinking through this, what would that demonstrate to the people? What do you think, Sandy, the people standing there, what do you think that they caught from that?
Well, if that was me at that time, and I haven't heard from God for 430 years or whatever, and then all of a sudden his voice, I don't know. I think I'd be on my knees. I mean, because it's just like, wow, The voice of God. Listen.
Right?
Listen, I'm speaking.
Yeah, and in his transfiguration, he will say, listen.
Yeah.
Because
he wants them to listen.
Time has passed at that point, like almost 3 years, mm-hmm. and they're not listening. And he had already given an announcement. I wrote down one is that you know, what we talked about in the first show, that it was to authenticate Jesus's ministry and mm-hmm. to reveal the presence of the Spirit. I put down they needed to see that Jesus was present. Mm. And so they actually saw him, and they saw him in obedience, and they saw him saying, this is to fulfill righteousness. So it was for them to also recognize the physical mm-hmm. presence of the man,
Son of man,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Son of Man.
And also he was praying.
Yeah.
Before God spoke.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of...
It's beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
And, you know, Luke is the only one that actually tells us that Jesus prayed in moment. The other passages don't reference the prayer, whereas Luke tends to emphasize moments that Jesus prayed. And
he's usually very specific
mm-hmm.
because of being a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. And he really likes to emphasize the prayer points. And so I think I actually have a Bible study that I've written called Seven Moments Jesus Prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in Luke. But not only does it show that he's present, but it shows he's visible.
Mm-hmm.
Allows the people to see him.
Visible and physical.
Right.
You know, human form, yeah.
But then the next thing that took me was that he's relational.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually was, you know, hey, John, you know, you got to do this. Yeah, no, that's not just about me. It's to fulfill righteousness now. And so the way he was relating wasn't just between him and John, but it was with the bigger picture of the kingdom and how it would impact the kingdom and allowing the people to see the bigger picture of what mm-hmm. will happen in the kingdom by him following through with his baptism. And so that blessed me as I read this. With the voice of heaven speaking, we have the God, the Father, coming in and showing us his presence. And I have this from the New American Standard Bible. They said, this is so cool. It says, the splitting open of heaven is an apocalyptic language imagery that indicates a transcendent communication from God breaking into the human sphere and dramatically revealing his divine will. Mm. Jesus will enter humanity gently, but he's going to leave with a roar. Mm. And this causes us to recognize that Jesus' entrance and exit represent that he is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. And so they're wanting us to see how this is God breaking through in another way. So he broke through and sending his son as a baby, you know, lying in a manger. But now he's breaking through and his voice is saying his ministry is about to begin. And I love him, and I'm pleased.
Mm, I was just going to say, I love him, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's wanting, and eventually we will catch that he has the people listen. That he'll say listen when he does the transfiguration. So what would you say, besides being the Holy Spirit, what are other things that we say that the dove represents?
Peace. Love.
Yeah. And
purity sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And harmlessness. Mm. And innocence, and so those are beautiful. And so to recognize that this is what has happened when the dove lands on him, and that's a beautiful example for us to see. And so the Spirit landing as a dove shows his presence as well. So God does it in his voice, Jesus does it in person, and the Spirit comes in as the dove.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of beautiful how the Trinity is manifested. And so I thought we need to recognize that. Well, in Psalm 2:7, Sandy, if you wouldn't mind turning to Psalm 2:7, we actually are told that God will do this when Jesus comes. So it's like a prophetic verse looking towards what happens. So Psalm 2:7.
I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father.
Okay. So It is, this theologians show that this is actually a looking toward Christ's baptism. It's one. It's the verse that ties the two together and showing the messianic link between Jesus and as our Redeemer. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are other times that we have voice spoken in heaven. That comes from heaven. It's not just in Jesus' baptism and his resurrection. The first time it happens is at creation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And God said, and God right. said, and God said, yeah. let there be light. Okay, so
Which in itself is amazing that he can just speak. And there's creation.
Right. You know. Yeah. And Sandy, that's what I wrote down, is that for each of these times that when the Father speaks, it actually reveals something about his character. Mm. And in Genesis, it's his creation, that mm-hmm. he is creator to create. His voice creates. In Deuteronomy 4:36, Moses says, and he made you hear his voice to discipline you. So when they were in the wilderness, they heard the voice of God, and it was to discipline the people. And then in 2 Samuel 22:14 and 16, David said, the Lord thundered from heaven and the voice of the Most High at the rebuke of the Lord. And so in this case, God was rebuking the enemy, and the voice of heaven spoke, and the enemy was rebuked.
And he thundered. Mm-hmm. So that's a little anger there maybe too.
Yeah. And then in Nehemiah 9:13, it says, the priests read and reminded at restoration that you came down from Mount Sinai and you spoke from heaven. This is used as a reminder for the people not to forget. So the priests were using that to remind the people, don't forget the voice of heaven mm-hmm. said this. And so it's used for remembrance. In Jeremiah 9:13-14, it's used as thunders, it's utters, and a voice comes out as an ocean's roar. And this is actually to show how God moves creation. And then in Daniel 4:3, I have King Nebuchadnezzar said, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed. When God wants to get his point across clearly. So God used his voice to clarify his point, to make sure that King Nebuchadnezzar understood mm. what he wanted. And then at Jesus' baptism in Luke 3:23, to proclaim his sonship, his appointment and pleasure. So that's what we're looking at. And so it's a proclamation that God uses to let people know about Jesus. And then in John 12:28, when Jesus is predicting his death, the crowd heard the voice say, they heard the voice of God. And Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. So it's actually for the benefit of man. So when we hear the voice of God, it's to help man to understand what God's doing. And then the transfiguration, which we'll look at next time, it's pointing out that he's emphasizing that he's the one that chose Jesus. And then in Joel, the last one, he spoke, and it shows, I'll just read what I wrote. I said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. And so at judgment day over the nations, his voice will cause a cosmic disorder. And so it will reveal Christ's return when his voice comes again. So with that said, New Testament period-wise, it doesn't tell us if his voice will come again like it had with his baptism, his transfiguration, but it does tell us we can be prepared that it will speak when Christ returns, so we won't doubt. Mm. His voice will speak right. again, and so we'll hear the voice of God when the return of Christ happens. So I thought it was pretty cool. I wanted us just to see how the voice of God works in the Bible so that we can understand, because it's to create, it's to discipline, it's to rebuke, it's for remembrance, it's to move creation, it's to clarify his point and his sovereignty, it's to show Jesus, it's to help us benefit with his truth, and it's to emphasize that he chose Jesus and that it'll show us Jesus's return. So that kind of gives us an idea of, even with his voice, it's in order to get our focus on who. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a gentle whisper, so you've got to be really tuning in.
Yeah, And that would be like with Elijah in the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't use that one because of the fact that it is a whisper. I used only the verses that referred to the voice of God.
Okay.
And with the gentle whisper, that's really, I think, how he communicates with us.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Like this splitting open of the heavens, those moments are more of the dramatic. And that takes us back to remember the quote that it's in the ordinary mm-hmm. that we see that a person has really been mm-hmm. transformed by Christ. And I think that's why we have to listen to the gentle whisper.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Sometimes the noise is too much. Be still and know that I am God.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. John the Baptist asked the question, why are you coming to me? Let's end with that. We just have a few minutes left. And Jesus answers him. Do you remember what he answered? To fulfill what? All righteousness now.
Yeah. Yep.
To fulfill all righteousness now. And that ultimately is the question we have to be asking ourselves. So we have looked at how Jesus' baptism helped him to identify with us, and it authenticates his ministry. It reveals heaven's praise for him. It shows the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it shows the power of the Holy Spirit. So for myself and for you, what are the things that we should be taking away as we think about this, like his baptism? Well, one, if Jesus was baptized, I should follow through with baptism.
Yeah, because he's our role model.
Right, and he did it by immersion,
mm-hmm.
and so we should recognize that. We need to repent of our sins and turn
which
to
is
him.
Constant.
Right, right. And
I think some people think that they only have to repent once.
Well,
that's in a perfect world.
Yeah.
You know, we're not there. We're not in heaven. We're on this earth that is not perfect.
Right. And repentance is something that happens, I think, moment by moment.
I do too. I think so too.
I think maybe the confusion of they're thinking repentance is bringing salvation, but actually Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ and you will be saved.
Be saved.
Then repentance is something we do in the process of becoming holy.
Yep. We're growing in our faith.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not a one time. It's a journey. The other thing we need to know is that in his baptism, Christ had heaven open up to him and the Spirit of God came.
Mm.
When we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God will also come to us and seal us and empower us and give us the ability to walk in that strength.
Amen.
Just as he did for Jesus. Thanks for listening. God bless.